My favorite thing to do is to dive into a pool when no one's around. A big 50-meter pool, preferably outside with the lane lines in. In competition, the water is so choppy you feel like you're out in the ocean, in a storm. But to me, an empty outdoor pool is the most peaceful place in the world. I love diving in, breaking the surface, slipping to the other side. And once I'm in, I don't come back to the surface right away. I stay under. I turn over on my back and look up at the sky, underwater. I watch the clouds, or better yet, the stars, and dolphin kick slowly down the lane. Some people feel connected to the mountains, or to a church, or to New York City. I feel connected to the water. It's so peaceful and quiet in there. When I was 32 and training at Stanford, after having been retired for the prior 7 years, I used to climb the fence to the aquatic center on Sundays or at night when the pool was closed. I'd climb the fence and go into the pool to be alone. One day, the assistant coach handed me a key. "What's this?" I asked. "I know what you do," he said. I was busted. We both laughed. In my life, I've retired from swimming and returned to the sport 3 times. I retired in 1989 after my second Olympics and then came back for the 1992 Olympic Games in Seoul. I retired in 1992 and came back for the 2000 Games in Sydney, and I retired in 2000 and came back again to be the oldest female Olympic swimmer ever when I competed in the 2008 Games in Beijing. Each time, I thought I was completely done with swimming. And each time, I had a different reason for believing my aquatic career was over. When I retired in 1989, at the age of 22, I didn't fully appreciate swimming. I didn't fully appreciate my gift. At that point, I felt sure, as only kids feel sure, that I was totally done with the sport, totally done with the water. I felt nearly allergic to the smell of chlorine, positive I'd never snap on goggles again. Swimmers are famous for this. The training is so brutal and, frankly, so boring that when you're done, you're really done. At swim practice, when you're actually swimming, you're in a blackout world. You can't hear much. You can't see much. You can't smell anything except chlorine. So when you're finished swimming competitively, you don't even want to swim a single lap. During the summers when I was retired, I'd sometimes spend a few weeks at my father's house in Quogue on Long Island. He had a pool, the same pool I spent countless summer hours in as a kid, and my father and I would hang out together there. He'd sit under an umbrella reading the New York Times. I'd lie in a chaise lounge reading the New York Post. I'd finish my reading first, go for a run, shower, and then plop back down in my chair. Most of the time I've been retired, I've spent working in sports modeling or sports television. My father was quite happy to see me in the professional world. He worried about athletes who didn't build careers for themselves. His own career had been very important to him. He'd been a boss in the first downtown high-rise in Las Vegas, the Fremont Hotel, which opened in 1956. He went on to become a partner in several Las Vegas hotels, including the Riviera, the Aladdin, and the Thunderbird. His work life had been rewarding in every way. He'd made a lot of money, met a lot of interesting people, and had been sustained by it intellectually. He wanted me to find work that did those things for me, and when I was still in my 20s, we both assumed that competitive swimming was only for the very young. It never occurred to either of us that I'd still be able to swim fast into my 30s, let alone my 40s. No one had ever done that before. Building a career seemed like a good idea to both my father and me. Still, my father was a creature of habit. He loved routine, coffee and the newspaper every morning, Bill Hong's Chinese restaurant every Sunday night. When I'd go visit him in Quogue, he couldn't understand why I didn't want to swim in his pool. "Don't you want to get in?" my father would ask. "Nope," I'd say. "Not just to swim a few laps? Nope." "Just one lap? No, I really don't want to." Sometimes the sun would be hot enough that I'd dive in to cool off, But then, much to his annoyance, I'd pop right back out and resume my place on the chaise. Except even during my first retirement, I had a plan for diving back in. I told myself I'd start swimming again if I ever got pregnant. I started telling myself this when I was 22 years old, before I wanted to have a baby or considered having one, before I knew that carrying a little creature in your belly makes you want to float around in water, warm and sudsy or otherwise, for the buoyancy, if nothing else. I'm not totally sure why I had this plan from such a young age. Given that I'd spent so much time at pools, I'd seen a lot of pregnant women waddle over and plop in, desperate for some reduced gravity exercise. But for me, the swimming while pregnant plan was a little different. I didn't just want the exercise. Believe me, I was going to exercise anyway. I'm an exercise nut. It's as vital to me as eating or sleeping. Some people have religion, I have the gym. I love the challenge, I love the structure, I love the sense of accomplishment as you set, work toward, and attain your goals. Since childhood, I've always been extremely intense about my physical pursuits. I've never been an easygoing recreational athlete. So sometimes I think I'd planned to go back to swimming when I became pregnant because I thought, or hoped, I could swim for just once in my life, without being so competitive and intense. Ha! We know how that turned out.